Well, g'day there, and welcome back to Convergently Speaking. Today on the podcast, we're talking about stonewalling. So if you've been following along, you'll know that we've been going through the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, which is John and Julie Gottman's language for four things that when present in a relationship show that it's on a track to, well, falling apart essentially, if these things are not dealt with. And so far we've talked about criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and so today is the fourth out of these four horsemen, which is stonewalling. Caitlin, I'll hand it over to you to do a definition, and then we can get more into some of the nitty-gritty of what stonewalling is all about.
All right. Stonewalling is withdrawing to avoid conflict and to convey disapproval, distance, and separation.
Stonewalling's a really interesting one because what appears to be happening and what is actually happening is a little different. And so when someone stonewalls, what they do is they physically disengage. So maybe they stop responding or just give short answers to questions. Or maybe they even physically walk away from the person that they're having a discussion with. And there's no excuse as such for engaging in this behavior. It's always unhelpful to a relationship. And if it's a pattern that continues over time, it is very, very damaging to a relationship. However, there is context for why this is happening and a little bit more to the story in terms of what's happening for the person that is stonewalling. It looks and feels like the person who's stonewalling you is actually disengaged. However, the way I usually speak about it is that they're actually over-engaged. That they're so engaged and so involved in trying to solve the problem and trying to resolve things that they actually become overwhelmed. And so the stonewalling is a strategy that's used last after a person feels like they've used every tool in their toolkit and now they're exasperated and they just have this sense that if I just shut up and don't say anything, this person will leave me alone or at the very least I won't escalate the situation. So again, it's a very damaging behavior to a relationship. But it usually evolves out of a situation where there's been issues that have continued for a long time that have remained unresolved, and so the person feels incapable or ill-equipped to do anything. They feel overwhelmed, and so that's when they shut down.
And yeah, the way they often explain it is that the person becomes flooded, so it's a physiological response. When they did the research, watching video of couples that were having an argument and where stonewalling was present, they would see that on the video, the stonewalling person, they just begin to appear very calm, like overly calm. But they would also be measuring their heart rate at the same time, and they would find that their heart rate was very elevated. And so this was showing that internally, physiologically, they were actually highly stressed and overwhelmed and flooded. They were able to put that together, that on the surface the person looks so calm, but their body is telling a different story and their internal experience is very different.
As I alluded to before, stonewalling seems to be something that is one of the horsemen that are used later in a situation. There are definitely people that stonewalling is their go-to, and usually I find that is if they've learnt stonewalling as a defense mechanism or as a coping mechanism from their family. However, often I've observed with the couples I've worked with that the other horsemen come earlier. So, for example, a person may go to defensiveness, and they may regularly go to defensiveness when there's a conflict or they feel criticized or attacked. And they'll use that mechanism to try and resolve the issue and try and explain and justify themselves. However, when this goes on for long enough and they're finding it to be unsuccessful and just escalating things or at least not resolving things, then over time they may start to incorporate stonewalling as their go-to strategy rather than trying to defend or justify themselves. And so, yeah, stonewalling is something just subjectively I've observed is often later on in the process and really a sign that for at least one person they're really feeling very overwhelmed with the situation and feeling very stuck. Stonewalling comes out of a stuckness, the sense that I don't know what to do, so I'll just do nothing. I don't know what to say, so I'll just say nothing. And we know as well from the studies that have been done around this, they observed about 85% of people that use stonewalling are men. And once again, I've seen women use this mechanism too. However, what we know from the research is that when women stonewall, it's actually more predictive of divorce. It's actually something that seems to take, I suppose, more history or more trouble in the relationship for a woman to move to as a strategy. But for men, it's a more common strategy. You know, I often think of popular TV shows that'll depict a man sitting on the couch watching TV while his partner's trying to talk to him and he's, you know, he's got the game turned up loud and he's just blocking her out. He's just non-responsive. And that's sort of a blown out of proportion stereotype of something that I think does exist quite commonly in relationships. And again, as I said before, it's usually something that comes up as a strategy when a person doesn't know what to say or do. And knowing how to express our feelings and articulate what we're feeling, I think, is something that us men traditionally have struggled more with. It's not something we've been socialized and educated into understanding. I think that's changing now in schools as we're seeing parts of curriculum teaching emotional intelligence to children, but certainly those of us that are already adults likely weren't taught how to speak about and express our feelings in a respectful and assertive way.
And then the other factor, because it is the majority of the time, in the majority of cases, it's men doing the stonewalling, there's this dynamic that being shut out and being stonewalled is particularly upsetting for women. We're socialized or naturally we want to talk issues out. You know, women talk to their friends or their mom or whatever. That's sort of our go-to often, is to just keep talking and just keep hashing it out. And so when the man withdraws, it can, if we don't realize what's going on, it can just make it worse, because then we just want to talk more and we get more distressed at being shut out because there's not the back and forth anymore. And it just intensifies the whole issue more, because then both people are actually very physiologically stressed and aroused, but one person is doing it internally and one person is doing it externally. So let's move on to what the antidote is for stonewalling. The antidote is physiological self-soothing, which is taking a break and spending time doing something soothing and distracting. Dan, can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, sure. So this is an interesting one. The way I tend to talk about this is that a healthy relationship involves an ability to come together and be apart and navigate this transition well. And what I tend to see with relationships is that there'll be couples that are kind of at each other fighting and arguing and in an unhelpful way, and there'll be couples that tend to avoid that and tend to push things under the rug. And so for the couples that are fighting and really at each other and saying things that are hurtful, the advice is to take some time to breathe and have some space. And that's sort of a minimum of 20 minutes that you need so that all the stress hormones can dissipate. And that's really hard for these people. The advice for stonewalling is actually similar. However, the challenge here is that it's, you know, it's not as hard for these people to disengage, But rather than disengaging in an unhealthy way, they need to disengage in a way that's healthy. And the key thing is that they also need to return. And so there can be a tendency for some people to disengage and then like literally go MIA for 3 days and be in their house around with their partner, but ignoring that person and continuing to stonewall. So when it talks about taking a break and spend time doing something soothing and distancing, this is actually, you know, active self-care type of thing. So maybe taking time to journal about what you're feeling, going for a walk, doing some meditation, doing some exercise. It's about engaging with something that either helps you process your feelings or at the very least is rejuvenating, rather than something that perpetuates your stonewalling, your disengaging from the issues at hand.
And also not using that time to be building your case more. Actually, it'd be better to not be thinking about the conflict, not be thinking about the issue directly, and going over your thoughts of frustration or your negative thoughts about your partner, but is it better to just distract yourself, do something else, move your body to move the stress hormones through, and then you can come at the whole issue fresh when you're not so activated.
Yeah, that's really good. I remember the other important part about this, and it's the way in which you take that break to do your self-soothing. There's a difference between grabbing your keys, jumping in the car and going to the beach, which may be a helpful thing. But if you just disappear and you don't communicate to your partner, that can be quite triggering for the partner and is honestly also just disrespectful. So it's taking the time to self-soothe, but also the way in which you transition to that period of time. There's a couple of ways this can be navigated. You can come up with a neutral word that the both of you know to signal that you need to take a break and return to the conversation. Or another really helpful thing is to actually have something physical. Maybe you have like a red cup or some other physical thing that you both understand that if either person puts this down on the table is basically a way of calling time. Now, this is what we do when there's intense arguments, but it's also appropriate to this context for the person that reverts the stonewalling to actually acknowledge, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling flooded and I actually need some time out to self-soothe so that I can come back to the conversation in a calm and in an engaged manner.
Going forward, if you're a person who does have a tendency to stonewall, think now about 2 or 3 things that you know do make you feel calm and just keep those in mind for the next time that you feel yourself shutting down in an argument. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's listening to music. Maybe make yourself a playlist that is music that is calming. Because in the moment, you might not remember what those things are. Thinking about it ahead of time and having a few tools and things in place can be very helpful for this dynamic. So thank you for joining us today on Convergently Speaking. Remember, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. We'd love for you to leave a comment or a review. And if you did find it helpful, share it with your friends as well. Thank you for listening. Stay curious.